Hello, this is Sahar. I hope you enjoy listening to this podcast.
I read on a testimonial on your website by Simon Callow, and also regarding your book review, The Alchemy of Voice, how you've also coached celebrities like Minnie Driver and many, many people. In fact, what's interesting is that you've also coached politicians, public speakers, and I really would like to know, do different people have different voice problems, if you like, according to what they do?
Well, the answer is yes, because we are all highly individual, and we all have our own individual voices, and depending on the circumstances in which we use them, that
right.
There is always a fundamental change. However, if I look at the nature of the way that the celebrity actor as a collective uses their voice, as opposed to the politician and the captain of industry, you know, the business person, that I can see them as being two collective groups, and they have
right.
their own collective behavioral difficulties. So absolutely, yes, yeah.
What is it, for example, that you find, or what center, if you can call it as such, politicians work through, or business people work through? Do you find, in terms of centers or chakras, that you have to work with certain parts more than other parts?
Yeah. The interesting thing about the politician and the business person is that, generally speaking, as a collective, they tend to be very, very head-led.
Yeah.
So their voices automatically change and become rather cerebral and rather data-based, and the sound literally lives in their head. So they're not necessarily embodied within their sound, or the sound is not necessarily coming from the very core of their body. So One of the great tasks that I have is to actually find a way of helping them recalibrate. And generally speaking, the individual business person comes to me not just simply because there's a vocal issue to do with people can't hear me or people aren't really listening to me, but they feel that there's a very genuine issue to do with the fact that their authenticity is not being communicated.
So it seems to me from what you're saying that public speakers, for example, work intellectually or use intellectual centers, as opposed to a performer, an actor who has
right.
to go deep within,
right.
feel something in order to be able to project that and make it sound authentic.
Yeah. Business people and politicians are very much products of the society in which we live, the culture in which we live, which is essentially a cerebral culture where we are fixated on doing. And of course, to be a successful business person or to be a successful politician, one has to be a highly successful doer.
Yes.
Actors are different. Although actors need to act, and acting means doing, the one thing that actors need to do is to be. And by being, one automatically becomes very aware of one's physical presence, which isn't necessarily the case with a lot of business people who live in their heads, hence my illustration just now,
projecting.
About the sound being in the head, because it's simply to do with, well, my head is the most important thing that I need to use to represent the reality that I'm trying to present as I sell this product, or as I try to influence this particular...
Yes.
policy within government.
So they're almost projecting something as opposed to feeling it.
Absolutely. I shall automatically change my voice. Whereas actors are actually...
Yes.
The actors need to be very much aware of what is the sound of their truth, because at the core of great acting is a truth of feeling statement.
It's when we were discussing off mic, so to speak, that if the acting is not authentic, if it isn't real, you know, we'll simply get up and switch the TV off.
Exactly.
But
Or you will leave the theatre.
Yes. Now, can anyone come and see you for a session? They don't have to be a celebrity.
No, absolutely. I mean, I see people from all walks of life.
And they don't have to be directly involved with working with the voice or with performing.
Not at all, no.
So,
I mean, for example, if I can give an image of or an illustration of somebody who called me this morning, the person that called me this morning has read the book that I've written, The Alchemy of Voice, and has suddenly realized that through the exercises, these very easy to use exercises within The Alchemy of Voice, that they can actually find a way of really being able to open up their emotional center in relation to shyness. For example, there may be a manifestation in their voice in the sense of the fact that they're not producing the sound that they want, but actually what they're feeling is deeply shy. And so that they're actually going to come for a session with me tomorrow to discover, okay, how can they open up their shyness, and thence how can their voice become more powerful.
And you use sound to recalibrate what their true self should be.
That's
so
right,
to speak.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
It's through the exercises or doing the sound. What can one expect that will go on if one is to have a session with you? I'm just
an absolutely fantastic time.
I'm sure. I'm just trying to make people more aware, because the downloads that we've received on the podcast that we've done together last time is absolutely incredible.
Mm.
And that showed us that there's an indication or an interest that people want to know more about sound, voice.
Yes.
And it isn't necessarily because they're in the industry.
Yes. Well, if we can see that our voices are actually at the very core of our identities. So what this means is that, for example, this word that we use to describe somebody's being is the word personality. So we talk about this person having this quality of personality, that person being this personality. And actually what we're really talking about is the fact that the word persona, personality, means through sound in Latin, per through sona sound.
Wow.
So actually when we're talking about somebody's personality, we're actually talking about the quality of sound that they're emitting.
Right.
So when I say that sound is at the core of our identity, I mean it's at the very core of the way that we create ourselves in the world. So obviously we can create internally by remaining silent and by having all sorts of brilliant ideas or having fantasy ideas or just simply constructing ideas. But actually when we come to speak about those ideas to somebody, we begin to manifest the idea. It's not just simply an idea in one's mind, it actually becomes a piece of manifest matter. Whether it's to do with the response that we gain from the person that's sitting or the people that are sitting with us, because they suddenly say, yeah, it's a great idea, or why don't you do this, or I totally agree with you, I've never thought about that, but I now really agree. So suddenly we feel that our creation
has moved
and has purpose.
Right.
So we feel that we can fulfill ourselves as we speak that truth. So then we go into the very science of sound, and we realize that sound is actually at the core of all matter, meaning that everything has its own note. And we know that from striking the side of a crystal glass, that it has its note. If you go to another crystal glass, even though it's from the same range of glasses, it has its own note. It's a different note from the one that you've just heard.
Right.
And then if you go around your environment, just tapping things, you'll see that they all have their own note. So then we begin to realize that at the very core of the science of sound is creation. And that in all ancient religions, there is this belief that the whole of creation came about through sound. In the beginning was the light. God said, let there be light, and there was light.
So just in the same way, perhaps, that a lot more people know auras, or what auras are, and can see the light. So just as each one of us has their own aura, we also have our own true sound.
We have our own true sound. So we can read... Sorry, I'm interrupting you.
No, sorry, I just wanted to say that it seems to me your work is more to kind of bring out, or to make people... more tuned into what is their true sound.
What is their true sound? And as a result of that, what is their true persona? What is their true essence? What is their true identity?
Is that the signature note?
This is the signature note, yeah.
Which I think you can't fake that.
No, indeed.
You can train to perform it perhaps for so
long,
but in order to be genuine, it's a lot easier if it's coming from the center or from the heart rather than just training to speak back
absolutely
from the head.
Yes. Which goes back to where we started, because obviously if I speak from here, you can hear that there's a lot of information that's coming at you, but after a period of time, will you want to listen to it? Because actually all I'm doing is talking at you rather than speaking to you.
That's
so there's a wonderful adage, there's a wonderful proverb that I often use, which is that if words arise out of the heart, they will enter the heart. If words arise from the tongue alone, they will not pass beyond the ears.
That's so true. I must tell you that in many ways you've ruined it for me since our last session and since I've met you. it's almost I've become more discerning to sound, and even with friends or when I watch the television and I watch different speakers and politicians, it's almost I begin to interpret what they say through the sound or through their voice rather than actually the words that they use. And it seems to me that's a different platform, that if we focus on the energy we're giving off or the vibe we're giving off, you can almost interpret people and their intention through their sound.
What we're saying is really that we can read somebody's psychological blueprint in their sound.
Is that what you do when you diagnose, so to speak?
Totally, absolutely. So and you know, all ancient peoples did this.
Really?
So for example, if we were living 400 years ago and I came to you to ask you for permission to marry your daughter, you would actually calibrate my integrity purely by the way that I spoke and how I sounded. And therefore you would decide whether I was actually going to be a worthy husband for your daughter purely by the way I sound. And I had a client about 4 weeks ago who's actually from Somali, who is now living in the United Kingdom and working here. But he comes from an indigenous tribe originally. He has an amazing intelligence, so he's actually academically worked his way into a different life, social life, hence him being here. And he's actually working for a large peace charity. But he told me that this is still true within his tribe, that if a young man wishes to marry, he firstly has to approach father, and father will always assess this person's character by the quality of his voice.
Amazing.
It's just something, as we speak about it, you see, it's something that we've actually almost unremembered or forgotten
absolutely
in our culture.
But have built in.
But and yet we have it deep within our beings. We just need to reveal it. I think it was Benjamin Disraeli who said that the true character of a man is revealed in his voice.
Amazing. Now, one thing I know we both share is a passion for is ancient Egypt. And just listening to you now, talking about being authentic and working from the heart, reminds me of how the ancient Egyptians really appreciated the heart. It was one of the organs, or perhaps the only organ, that was carried into the coffin with them. And I think of the goddess of truth, Mat, and how the mythology goes that the heart was taken out and weighed. And if you had a good heart, if you took the right decisions, they had the right intentions, then your heart would be as light as a feather. And if not, then you're doomed.
And then you're doomed. Literally, your heart would be eaten.
And is the heart the organ of truth?
The heart is unquestionably the organ of truth. It's right at the locus, it's right at the center of the way that we function as authentic beings. To have authenticity means that we are fully integrated, and therefore being integrated we have integrity, which is the real root of the word. In order to find out what that integration is all about, we need to be very healthy with our hearts. Now, what this really means, for example, in terms of the politician or the business person, is that there has to be an understanding of how to cooperate within marketeering rather than competing.
Yes.
So therefore there is actually an equal exchange of energy. This comes from heart emission. It has to. There's only one way. And as soon as we move into competition, we become diffused and the heart ceases to function in a very free flow way.
Absolutely. Stuart, would you come back and talk to us?
I'd love to. It's always fantastic having a conversation with you, Saha. We always talk about such interesting things.
Thank you. I wanted to ask you very briefly or very quickly, how do you switch off? How do you relax when you're not working? How do you empty out?
There are two essential things that I do. I use sound to still my mind. So what I mean by this is that I take myself into a state of rest. This can be seated in a chair or lying down. And I find my note and I make the sound of my note, which actually stops me thinking. All I can do, when you're making sound, all you can do is make sound rather than to think making sound. So that's the first thing that I actually do. The second thing is that I use breath to take me into the state of being that most athletes call the zone, where the two hemispheres of the brain coordinate into one, and there is this exquisite feeling of stillness just moving all the way through me. It's a form of meditation.
So that really reminds me of the sound of silence, which I hope to discuss with you in another
time. That would be fantastic.
If there is a next life for you, would you come back, and what would you choose to do?
Wow, what a question. I would come back, yes. What would I come back as? I would come back as a priest.
Really? And what would you preach?
I would be a priest of sound.
Oh, interesting. Always faithful to the sound.
A lover of the sound, yeah.
A lover of the sound. Mm. Stewart Pete, thank you very much, and I look forward to our next discussion.
Sahar, thank you.
Thank you.